book from Preacher today. I told him, I said, I hope I get a chance. I don't know when I get a chance to read it. Seems like I stay so busy, I don't get to read a whole lot, except for studying the Word. And I'm certainly not going to give that up to read, you know, somebody else's book, you know. I want to read God's book first. And it's difficult to make time. Fortunately, where I work, I get an hour for lunch, and I spend that time reading and studying, and that helps a little bit. We're still looking at this this one mystery, and we're gonna look into probably all of them, and all of them won't go as slow as this one, but. One of the reasons why this is going so slow, because I think it's, to me, it's one of the most important in our day, because it applies to our last days. If you look in the book of Revelation, in the last church, you know, we know that church in Laodicea, how it apostatized. And it's really not a true church at all. It's got believers in it. But for the most part, the church is completely left, you know, the right way. And this is what Jesus said. He said, he told them, his disciples during that, while he was on the earth, he said, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. And he said, the leaven of the Pharisees, he said, beware of it. And we know leaven in the Bible is corruption, is false teaching. And he said a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And this mystery of iniquity has been at work since the beginning. I mean, since the beginning that man was put upon this earth, when that old serpent appeared there in the garden, it was to deceive. It was to bring man into sin. And he did it through deception. And the Bible said he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He was very subtle. And that's why this mystery of iniquity works. It's when you think about a serpent, you know, there's probably around where you live, there's probably dozens of snakes, but you barely ever see one. He's very subtle. He hides in the grasses. He catches its prey by stealth. He don't get no hurry. If he did, he would never catch nothing because he's not fast enough to catch anything. He's got to lie in wait and wait for his opportunities. He goes hunting. You know how he, boy, he got that old tongue, runs out there, and he can track things, and then but he's very subtle and he takes his time. And that's why this mystery of iniquity has been working just a little, just one day at a time, just one moment at a time, Satan. And I'd like to say this also, the mystery of iniquity, it works by permission, too. It works by God's permission. You know, the Bible's several places in there, and he said he gave them pastors after their own heart. And a lot of the problem, you know, we have in our churches is because that's what people want. I remember years ago, right after I first got saved, I was in a Methodist church, and I remember the pastor of that church stand up in front of a men's group, and he said, you're going to have exactly the kind of church that you want. That's the kind of church you're going to have. If you want a church, you want God's church, you'll want what God wants. But you'll get the kind of church you want. And we're getting the kind of government we want. I'm sad to say, as a nation. I'm not saying as individuals we're not getting what we want. But as a nation, we're getting, you know, we're building a government after the wants and the desires of the people. The people want something for nothing. So they're trying to create a government that's going to supply them something for nothing. A state, you know, of give me, take care of me, and they do not realize what it's going to mean in the end. what it's going to mean in the end that nobody's going to have nothing, and they're going to be owned. And that's what's happening. You know, slowly but surely, this government is taking over everything, and there's going to come a time when you won't belong in this country. You won't belong to yourself. You'll belong to the government. I'll never forget Hillary Clinton speaking about her children, talking about the children in this nation. I said, what do you mean, your children? These ain't your children. You don't even care about these children. But that's the way she looked at it, buddy. That's the way this nation looks at it. We're their people. No. We're supposed to be a government. It's of the people. They're supposed to be our government. We're not supposed to be their people. You know? They're supposed to be servants to the people, but we don't have a whole lot of that today. What they want is a government whereby the people serves it. And that's happening more and more. And that happens slowly over time. Just like this mystery of iniquity. We know we could go, and I would like to spend time, but I'm not going to go there. But if you, I will refer to book of Daniel, where Daniel first really saw the image of this thing being set up. Babylon the Great, where this image is set up. Well, you know the story, where he has this vision, and in his dream he sees this statue with a head of gold, and you know, and arms and shoulders silver, and it's of brass, legs of brass and feet of iron and clay, and we know that story. And we know that eventually, praise God, Jesus Christ is going to come back and destroy that. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's going to come. And that is a hope. That's the only hope for this world. That's not the hope of the church. The hope of the church is us getting called out of here. We got a home prepared for us, you know, in heaven, you know, the New Jerusalem. And that belongs to the church. And it's been, and we are heirs and joint heirs together for Christ. But the hope for this world is Christ's return. And he destroys this harlot, this false, it's a government of Satan. It's a religion of Satan as well. Because you can look and you'll find out that he's involved in copying everything that God has done, imitating it, and twisting it. And we know that Satan has been about this for a long time. And they set up this great image, and Jesus is the only thing that can bring this thing down. We can't bring it down. It's not in the power of a government or mankind. There's nothing we can do to fix it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. We ain't going to stop it. It's coming. It's by God's permission. It's by God's design. Satan is being allowed by God to do a certain thing, and that one day when they see the power of God revealed in his Son and he destroys this image, this mystery of iniquity is destroyed, this old harlot, when it's destroyed, you know what all nations will have to do? They're going to have to bow. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming. And only God can do this. We cannot bring this thing down. We can't expose it. Nobody will listen, like I brought up last week. Who will listen to us now? We tell them that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We point out the devil and his work. Who believes it? Who believes it? Hey, they look at you like, oh, you're just a negative Nancy. You know what I mean? You're just a gloomer. The man stands up, gets up on a soapbox and tries to tell them, this is bad for our local government. This is bad for our state. This is bad for our country. Does anybody listen? No, they don't listen. The only thing they're interested in, give me what I want. Give me what I want. And so we're getting, as a country, what this country wants. And we can try to stay it, you know, by doing the right things. But I tell you, the best thing that I think the church could possibly do right now is dig in and say, God, help us be a light. Help us to walk right. Help us to get our own house in order. Don't worry about straightening out this country. Don't worry about straightening out our local governments. Don't worry about our own house. Let's get our own house in order. Because this mystery of iniquity is not just working in this world. It's principle. Hey, the thing that Satan is aiming at is not the world. The world is his. It belongs to him. He's the God of this world. He's the one that created it. The way the governments are run, the way the people that's setting the principalities and powers all over this world, he's the one that set these things up. So he's not so much worried about them. He's got them. Who has he got his sights on, and where is he attacking the hardest? It's Bible-believing churches. That's who he's got his aim on. That's who he's bringing his attack against. Why? Because we're the only thing, we're the only stop sign between this world and the lake of fire. We're it. We're it. I mean, nobody else is going to do it. You can't expect the liberal churches to do it because they're blinded. They're taken. A lot of those churches already are under Satan's command. And I'm not naming no names, but y'all know what I'm talking about. We're not ignorant of the fact that a lot of these churches, even though they say Christ, they're not talking about the Christ that is Bible. They're talking about another Christ, which is not another, but is an antichrist. We know that there's an antichrist system, and that's what this mystery of iniquity is main deal is to create a religion and to pull down good churches and try to corrupt them. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, I'm going to read over the things we started on last week. Is how does it work? We saw in Proverbs that it works through the fact that men love foolishness rather than wisdom. Because wisdom points out our problems, and we don't want to admit we want to do what we want to do. And if we're fools, we don't want to know it. So it loves foolishness instead of wisdom. In Proverbs 1:24, you find that this mystery of iniquity works in people to get them to refuse the call of God, you see. And then the best way and one of the best ways to do that is like the preacher was preaching that message about that lost coin. You remember he talked about the lost coin? Now, who lost the coin? The woman did. Huh? The woman did. The best way that Satan can get this here to work about this, the refuse to call of God, is get a bunch of people in strong Bible-believing churches to do bad things. Get them caught up. Get it all in the news about how this one was messing around, this preacher was messing around with a little girl. We've seen a lot of that, haven't we? Messing around with a young girl. Huh? Find out where they were skimming, stealing. Find out where they were taking the money and building themselves, you know, big homes and stuff. Put it all over the news. You know what I'm saying? What does it do? It drives a wedge in between the world and the gospel. And that's what Satan tries to do. And that's how that coin gets lost. We drop it. We dropped the ball. We've heard that said a lot of times. We dropped the ball. I tell you what, I think about, I've heard, I don't know how many of you have heard the story about when Japan fell. And MacArthur said, he asked the churches right then to send 1,000 missionaries to Japan because Japan was humbled. They would hear the gospel if they would come. You know how many came? Maybe a handful. It might have been a few. You know what? Truth is, American people want them to be destroyed. Down to every last man, woman, and child. They're full of hate. And that's another way that this has worked, the way that the church has kind of lost, you know, influence, is we get full of hate in our churches. I mean, boy, we get up on a soapbox and, you know, we hate the homosexuals, we hate this, we hate that, and next thing you know, people, you lose credibility when you're supposed to be a people of love, when your message from the pulpit so much is about hate. Now, we are to hate sin. There's no doubt about it. We are to hate what homosexuality does to people. We know it's wicked, you know. But I'm afraid they've got the message is that we hate them. And that's not the way it ought to be. We ought to be. Our goal is to reach people that's being destroyed by the, you know, sin and the devil. That's what our job is it not? I mean, you know, here's what a lot of the church's idea is. We're going to protect our own and our children and keep them, and that's the ones, that's the only ones. Hey, but you remember when you was lost in sin? Man, my home was a mess. My life was a mess. From the time I was just a little child, praise God, and I'm going to be honest with you, I got saved despite the church. Despite the church. Because the church did not reach out to me. Jesus Christ reached out to me through family. My wife. She had gotten saved in a troubled part of her life, and she knew that we weren't right and was trying to get us back on the right path. God used her to get me to be around enough of church that I finally, you know what I mean, heard enough to get saved. But the church didn't come after me. Nobody never knocked my door except for the Jehovah's false witnesses. Huh? And they weren't worried about getting me in. Most of them just stopped by and left me some literature. Didn't really work on getting me in, even into the kingdom hall, till after I got saved. Then the devil started sending them around my house a lot, trying to get me all confused, not knowing what was the right way. Praise God, he brought me through that. But I wasn't in a church that was teaching me a whole lot. But God had a plan. God still does have a plan. God can work and make a difference. And we know how He's done this. It works through man's love of foolishness, for man refusing the call of God. He said, now, God has called all, but few are ever chosen. It also works for choosing not the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And, you know, man... And here's the way I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I think some of you will. There was a time in my life as a young man, I feared God. There was times when I'd go to bed at night. You know what I'm saying? I was afraid to go to sleep. I knew that. Any of you remember that prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, please, dear Lord, take my soul. I didn't want to go to hell. And as a young man, I was afraid of God, what God would allow to happen to me. I was afraid. I feared God. But you know what happened? I did not like being afraid of God. So, you know what I did? I replaced that. You know what I replaced it with? Unbelief. You can do that. Jesus Christ is a light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. But if you don't want to believe, He'll let you replace it with unbelief. And as a young man, you know what I started? I started grabbing a hold of that mess they was teaching in public schools about, you know, evolution and dinosaurs, all them questions, you know. And next thing you know, I'm saying, even though I knew Even though I still knew that there was a God, I chose not to believe. And you lie to yourself enough, you know what will happen? You'll believe it. Or at least you'll act like you believe it. I tell you what, we got a bunch of church people. You can do that. I don't care if you're saved. You can still do that. You know, and one reason why I know that, because I remember coming home one day. I was getting ready to go on visitation. I was rushing to get home, going to get cleaned up, going to go back on visitation. And I was sitting there thinking about stuff. And about that time, I heard a thought in my head. He said, "You don't believe that. You don't believe that stuff, do you? You know, about God." I'm like, I knew who it was right off the bat. It was a devil, a little old imp. Come, where did the Bible says casting down vain imaginations? He got in there and trying to put something in my head, trying to get me not to believe what I knew was true. I said, "Of course, I believe it. It's a fact. It's truth. I know it." And you know what that rascal said to me? "Well, just pretend like it ain't so." The devil will tempt you. He wars against the mind. He comes after your mind. That's the reason why the mind has to be renewed. That's the reason why, you know, the devil uses teaching, false teaching, you know, to come in. A little leaven at the whole lump. You get a false teaching in your mind, and that thing grows like a cancer. They refuse the call of God. Another way it works, it works by choosing not to fear the Lord. When we hate correction, that's how it works. It works when we hate correction. Man, don't, hey, you have to, if any person's going to grow in the knowledge and the grace of God, they first off have to be teachable. They have to have a teachable spirit. If you've already arrived in your mind, you've already come to the place where you're not, you know, you already know everything, then you're not going to grow. I'm not going to grow. I mean, I got to, you know, I'm like anybody else. God has to humble me and break me down and make me realize I don't know nothing. The Bible said when you think you know something, guess what? You don't know nothing. And that's our point. That's my point there, is that we need to realize that we need the Holy Spirit at all times to be showing us that we don't know, but He does. "Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." It doesn't matter what I think about this book. I mean, it ain't going to change this book. It's not going to change what this book is going to do. What matters is that I let this book change the way I think. Let this book show me where I'm wrong. Let this book be a mirror so that when I open it up, man, I always thought it was like that. Now I see I was wrong. I used to believe this, but now I can see I didn't have it figured out. I thought I had it figured out. And let the Word of God work in our lives at all times. Don't approach this book like you've... Don't approach this book and trying to find what you already got in here and in here. Go in here letting this thing correct us. We need correction every day. And that's the reason why the Word of God was given. Reproof. Prove what is right. Let study to show thyself approved unto God. And when you're not approved, and God shows you that what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're believing is not correct, let God show us. And I'm afraid the church, for a large part, is not doing that. They've already got a liturgy. That's how you got these churches. They got, man, they actually have a book, like a prayer book, like, you know, and next thing you know, you start reading these things, and I'm all for reading them, And next thing you know, you start building what your belief on what? What other men said. It doesn't matter what other men said. What matters is what God said and knowing for sure what He said. And letting that Word of God teach you. I've got a lot of books by men, and, you know, and I've read them. You know, the best books I ever read about men is biographies to see how God moved people. I seem like they've always helped me better than any of them I know. A lot of doctrinal books haven't helped me a whole lot. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I look at them, and sometimes I feel like, well, I don't know if that's true or not. But I can get in this Bible, and I know it's true, and I know it's right. And I can just dig in, and I'll try to let these books show me some things, and I can go into this Bible and take what they said, go into this Bible, and look in some areas of my life, like he's talking about right here, about victorious Christian living. Hey, I need victorious Christian living. I need that. And I can look what the Bible says about having victory, and then I can compare it, or maybe what I'm reading in here, take the verses of Scripture he has in here, like 1 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6, look through these Scriptures. But don't take his word for it. Take the Bible's word for it. Take the Holy Spirit's word for it. Let it be our guide and our teacher. So when we hate correction, also when we start following after the strange woman. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. We started on this. I didn't get very far. Proverbs chapter 2. Verses 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the woman which flattereth with her words. And I kind of spoke about how this mystery Babylon, this harlot, how she works to deceive through flattery. You know, I mean, you watch it. We've seen it in times past. Preachers that they'll get around, they get on a soapbox and start building up, you know, men. And boy, this is a great man. Go to the great men. And I'm wondering, when it's all said and done, who is it that God sees as the great men? It's a funny thing. Most of the great men I've heard said, I'm not one of them. They'll say, there's going to be people you never heard of that God, they're going to be way out in front of me. Because the Bible said, over about, you know, about the body, it's not the pretty parts that's the most important. It's some of the less pretty parts, you know. And I'm not going to get into that, but hey, ain't you glad you got soles on your feet? Sometimes it gets bothering you to get a little hard, you know. But ain't you glad you got soles on your feet, nails on your toes, and on your fingernails, and things that we don't even know about, things inside of our body that's working is hidden, nobody ever sees. Less comely parts, you know, have the most honor. And that's the way it is. But, well, you know, man likes to be flattered. And that's the way this mystery of iniquity will work. It will work to flatter us. And next thing you know, if we ain't careful, we'll be giving in to it. Because, I mean, everybody likes a pat on the back, don't they? Everybody likes to be told they're doing a good job. Everybody likes, you know, a word of encouragement. But here's what we got to remember. It ain't got nothing to do with us. We didn't do it. Without him, we can do nothing. It's all Christ. If you did anything right this week, it wasn't you. It was him. If I did anything right, I had any right thoughts, guess where I got them from? I got them from him. Because that old man can't do anything right. He never has, and he never will. It's that new man. It's Christ in you. So who do we have to give all the glory to? To him. It all belongs to him. But we like it. We like it. So if it appeals to us to get that encouragement and a pat on the back, guess who it's appealing to? That's right, the old man. So what do you need to do when you start getting that appeal and that starts appealing? What do you need to do? You need to humble yourself right then and cast that down and ask God, Lord, you get all the glory. You get all the glory. You done. If I did anything right this week, you done it. And I'll thank you for that. It's important that we understand this. This mystery of iniquity, it wants to pull us down. It's attacking Bible-believing churches. It's attacking people who are trying to follow after God. And remember, it's always by God's permission. Don't get discouraged by it. Remember, God's trying to help us. He's trying to strengthen us. He's exercising you. No pain, no gain. You're not going to grow without being exercised. And He's going to try you. If He tried His own Son, you don't think He's going to try us? He already knew He wasn't going to fail, but He tried Him anyway. He knew what He was going to do. He knows what you're going to do too. He knows you're going to mess up. But when you do and you fall, who's there to catch you? He's always there to catch you. When you fall, realize you're falling into His hands. And give Him thanks. Lord, I fell. Thank you. You tried me. This is for my good. This is to your glory. Thank you. Now, Lord, help me get back on track. The strange woman, she's going to work to deceive. She's there. She's always going to be there. She's always going to have her through flattery. Look at some of the ways she works. She works through flattery. Turn the book of Revelations 17:5. You'll see her. She's set up. I'm going to begin reading verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Who is that? That beast. That's his world system that Satan has set up. And we see this woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. And this scarlet-colored beast is full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen. 1 is, the other's not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, I'm not going to get into what I believe, but I'm not going to really teach on it, but I still believe it's just talking about Rome. It's just talking about the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was and was not yet is. It still existed. Even though the Roman Empire, the greatest empire, we follow that head of gold, which was the Babylonian Empire, then the Grecian Empire, somebody help me. What came after that? The Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire fell, which is the West. It's always known as the West. And it fell. and it was not. Yet it still was. It still is. And will be again. How? I don't know how. I just know that it will be again. He shall ascend. That one that Satan has picked up is going to ascend. Is going to appear again. Hey, he's going to come up. That son of perdition. He received a sop. You know? The son of perdition. Judas Iscariot. He was a son of perdition. The Bible says he was son of perdition. He received a sop. You know, S-O-P. Like Brother Joe pointed out many times. You think that's a coincidence? I think not. And he went to his place. And that same spirit, I don't believe the same person, that same spirit that took him is going to take another. And Satan will fill him. Just like John the Baptist. I don't think John the Baptist is raising from the dead. But John the Baptist is coming back. That same spirit, which is the spirit of Elijah. I don't think John the Baptist was Elijah, but he had that same spirit. That same spirit that God put in Elijah, he put in John the Baptist, and he's going to put in another man. And he's going to put the spirit of Moses, the same spirit that Moses had, he's going to put it in another man. And those two witnesses is going to stand up, and who are they standing against? That son of perdition. That mystery Babylon. That mystery of iniquity, which doth already work. And it's attacking us. And how is it coming against? You look over here, and if you look in Revelation, you find out that this mystery works by smooth words, by flattery and adultery. The greatest weapon of this mystery is religion. You find that in Proverbs 7, verses 4 through 27. Oh, you find her. He said, boy, she said, I have paid my vows. Boy, she said, I've made myself right with God. She said, come on, we're going to get together and commit fornication and adultery against the goodman. But I did my religious vows. Religious. And I'm going to tell you something. Religion, as a preacher said, boy, Satan has always used religion. The first murder was over religion. About every war that's ever been fought, it's been fought over religion. Look at this stuff that's coming against us right now out of the Middle East. What's it about? It's about religion. Well, I mean, religion. Satan loves religion. He's probably the most religious fellow you ever met in your life. I bet he can quote all kinds of. He can probably quote from the Quran. Hey, quote from the, you know, from the Satanic Bible. He can quote from the Buddhist writings. I guarantee he can go over there and the Hindu writings. He can quote them. But he'll quote this Bible. He'll quote, I mean, you name it. He's been studying it. He's very religious. He loves religion. And he wants us to be religious. And he wants us to be corrupted by it. Because that's what religion will do. It'll corrupt us. It's corrupted the churches today. You go up, buddy. I mean, I remember reading about this in the Church of England. Those men there who believe the Bible, they stood against that prayer book that they brought in. You know what they read from today? If you was to go into about every Anglican church, what do you call them here, Episcopals? They'll read from that prayer book every day. And they'll put it right there, buddy. And Jesus warned of that. He said, they make void the Word of God, what? Through their traditions. They make void the Word of God. And they brought these traditions in through other books, through other teachings, for the teachings of men. Hey, through traditions of the church. Church tradition. I've heard several people talk about, I am a traditional Christian. Can't remember his name. Right now, he got the no spin zone. What's that guy's name? Who? Yeah, O'Reilly. He said, I am a traditional Christian. You know what that means? He believes traditionally what the Catholic Church teaches. I remember when we were still over at the old church. I don't know if you remember this, Brother Jim, but they had an article came out where the Anglican Church and the Episcopal Church of America said that they were in agreement with the Catholic Church that salvation was in the Holy Eucharist. I don't know if you remember. You remember that? It was in the newspaper, Salisbury Post. I read it. It was in there. That's a traditional Christian, traditional believer. And they have made void the Word of God through their traditions. So how does this mystery of iniquity work? It works through smooth words, flattery, adultery, through religion, through traditions. Jesus said that in Matthew 15. Let's turn there. Matthew 15, we'll read that. So much, this Bible is just so full of things showing this corruption and how it's worked through the ages when Christ was on the earth. Matthew, I said 15, didn't I? 15. Matthew 15, we're going to read in verse 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. And I like what he said here. You hypocrites. I guarantee you they wanted honor, didn't they? They expected the people to honor them and their traditions. He said, you hypocrites. To you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their what? Mouth. And honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me. He said, they worship me, but it ain't doing nothing. It's empty. It's vain. It doesn't accomplish anything. They worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And I don't care if you got a prayer book or if you got a whatever you call it. You don't have to have that. All you have to do is have in your heart and mind what you believe this Bible says. When it doesn't line up with the truth of God and you stand in pulpits and teach it, guess what you're doing? You're making void the Word of God through the tradition of men. I've heard things over the years said and taught by different kinds of churches, from Southern Baptists, Independent Baptists, from Pentecostal churches, churches have got all that crowd. I've heard them teach things, and they take the Word of God and they teach them. But they wrest the Scriptures to their destruction. We can all be guilty of that. It's a dangerous thing when you take up this Word of God right here and not let this Word of God have the final say. Not let this Word of God teach us and show us the truth. It's a dangerous thing when we take the Word of God and next thing you know, we're honoring men above this Word and we're honoring men above God. And it's men that we lift up and praise above God. And that's what these people were doing. It's going on every day all over this country. I talked to my children this past week. I said, something came up. Somebody was talking about somebody. And I more or less told them, shut up. My own children. Sometimes you got to do that, Brother Jim. I don't care if they're 21. Sometimes you just got to stand up or 28 and say, what you say is not right. You need to be quiet. They was talking about somebody. I want to not even say who it was. They were guilty. I said, but it ain't none of your business. Won't you worry about your own self? Keep your mouth shut. study to show your own self approved unto God. Don't worry about the mistakes he made. Worry about the mistakes that you're making and I'm making. That's what we need to do. Get that down inside of our heart to the point that we will learn to keep our mouth shut. I try not to open my mouth about the worst of. I try not to make. When I was a young Christian, I made jokes about the Pope and different ones. I'll never do that again. God says, "Who are we to judge another man's servant?" And he belongs to God. God will deal with him. If I'm going to do anything for that man, I'm going to pray for him that God will open up his eyes and help him see the truth. That's it. That's all I'm going to do. Are you going to support him? No, I'm not going to support him. I'm not going to support a lie. I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to attack him. Somebody says something to him, I just say, well, I don't agree with that. That's all I'm going to say. That's how this mystery works, by the way. It wants us to get smarter than everybody else. And buddy, when you think you stand, you think you're standing, the Bible says, take heed, lest ye also fall. Man, we stood, and man, we thought we were standing, and we spoke out against people that we thought and knew that they were doing wrong and spoke against them. And then, buddy, it wasn't no time. We started seeing some of our own begin to fall. I fell enough in my lifetime. I don't need to try to add to it. I need to find God's mind. Let God help me and pray for others. Brother, would you pray for us this morning?